What's the difference between a nonprofit and a social purpose business? Hey, welcome to Growing a Fruitful Brand, where we discuss how to create and grow a brand that makes the world a better place for you, your customers, and your employees. I'm Ben Luters, founder and art director of Fruitful Design and Strategy. Today, we're talking about social purpose businesses with Omaha's very own Karen Borchert. Believe it or not, Karen actually used to run this place when it belonged to Flywheel because she was their VP of operations and then their chief operating officer. But now Karen helps run Alpaca, a very fun and unique social purpose business that focuses on teachers. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Today, we're talking about social purpose businesses with Karen Borchert. Karen actually used to run this place a bit, where we're at, when it was Flywheel. You started out as the VP of
operations,
yep. And then became the COO, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Very cool. And so really you know fun. This place, you know, probably more intimately than even I do. But we're so honored to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks.
And today, we're going to get into, you know, what is a social purpose business? She's doing a new thing called Alpaca that we're going to get into in a minute. But first, let's get to know you a little bit.
Cool.
I have a little, you know, icebreaker type question for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
I don't usually do this, but I'm really curious. Maybe it's because Alpaca deals with teachers and stuff like that and people who are educating kids. But when you were a kid,
yep.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, that's a good question. For a long time, I wanted to be a teacher, and then I decided I wanted to be a doctor. But when I was a kid, my favorite people in my entire world were my teachers, and so I always wanted to be a teacher. So it was a softball question. It's an easy one, and it's true.
My follow-up question was, is there anything, you know, from what you wanted to be as a kid that carries over to what you're doing now, but it's like a direct correlation?
Yeah, and actually, I went to college to be a teacher. That's what my degree's in. Yeah,
but
then I didn't end up, I ended up getting kind of pulled down an entrepreneurial path really early on. So,
well, take us down that entrepreneurial path a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
How did you get from there to where you are today?
Yeah. So I was, like I said, I went to college got my degree in teaching high school English and student taught and everything. Got asked for my hall pass by other teachers all the time because I looked like a kid. And that was fun. But at the same time, I got really involved in a nonprofit organization that I helped start on my college campus. Mm. And with it, I ended up kind of taking it into a national model right out of college. So it's a program to pick up unserved food on college campuses from cafeterias and then turn it into meals and then deliver those meals out to community organizations and agencies in our community. And that's what we did. My friend and I did that on our college campus at Wake Forest and way back a long time
ago.
That's
so awesome.
And then when we left, she went to the Peace Corps and I moved to Washington, D.C. And I ended up getting a job with a nonprofit organization that wanted to take that model and make it a national model. So that's what I did for the next 10 years.
Oh, wow.
So I was in kind of this entrepreneurial nonprofit space, you know, building and scaling this organization on college campuses. So we were at about 50 college campuses overall nationwide, which
okay.
was really fun. Learned like it was like a crash course in all of business. So it was like, you know, all of this, you know, I was do all of this stuff and I'd be like, okay, what is that? And they were like, that's marketing. And I was like, okay.
That's what that is.
And they'd be like, that's finance. I was like, like my board of directors, they were like, so I finally went to business school because I felt like, you know, that seemed like a path I was enjoying and that kind of thing. I had never thought about going to business school, but did that. And then started a small company kind of in the video and accessibility space right out of school with right out of business school with some friends who from business school. And that one kind of crashed and burned because it was right at the very beginning of streaming video. And it was at a time where it was kind of supposed to be video in cultural places like in, you know, museums and monuments and outdoor places. And that was a time where you couldn't just stream video on your phone like that. There was not enough bandwidth for that at the time. So that idea was a good idea that was at the wrong time. I got so excited about technology at that point that I went to work for a big digital agency out of DC And got to work with some really, really big brands on their kind of digital, entire digital footprint. So got to see how web systems were built and how, you know, how brands change with a complete digital transformation. So got to see that, really kind of got a front seat for that. And also learned a bunch about sales and all kinds of stuff at that time. And then moved back home to Nebraska, having been in DC and Austin for a little while.
So you're from here originally?
I'm from Lincoln, yeah.
From Lincoln?
Yeah, I'm from Lincoln, okay. And then was gone for about 15 years and then came back about 10 years ago. I spent a year working on a data project for the election system, which was fascinating and a totally interesting project. And then I came to Flywheel. So I actually moved to Omaha the same exact day that Flywheel was started, but we didn't know it. Like, we didn't know each other at that time. And then I joined a few years later when it was about 50 people, and got to be there all the way through to it becoming WP Engine and moving over to the Mastercraft or to Ashton Building, and then got to come here. So here I am.
And here you are.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's so cool. You couldn't have teed it up any better. Like, it's very clear that even at the very beginning of your, you know, career or professional life, you had purpose.
Yeah.
Right there. Before, you know, you even knew what a social purpose business was, or before maybe they even existed, you know, you were wanting to do things that really mattered to you, mm-hmm. and make a difference beyond just money.
Yeah.
Right. And so maybe this would be a good time to talk about Alpaca.
Yeah.
What is it? It's a cool
sure.
name.
Yeah, it's a great
really
name.
Fun brand. So what is it and why?
Yeah. So Alpaca is a company born just a year ago. We're pretty new. And our goal is to make it easy to support teachers. Mm. We think that teaching's a really, really critical profession for our future workforces, for business, for our communities, for just, you know, strong families. All of those things are really, really kind of centered on having great teachers in our schools. And I'm a parent of school age kids. So it's really important to me. It was a profession I was on a path towards. So I care about it a lot as a profession, but I also think that there is a really big challenge in education right now around teachers and teacher well-being. Mm-hmm. And so I could see that as a mom, as a person in, you know, whose kids are with their teachers all day, you know, honestly, our kids are with our teachers more than they're with at home.
Yeah,
you know,
in a
typical
there.
Day, it's a big thing. And I didn't know how to support it, you know, our teachers in a better way. And honestly, I was sitting around a PTO, a parent teacher organization yeah. meeting. I was the treasurer. And I said, you know, it would be so awesome if there were better, easier technology solutions to helping our teachers. Like, wouldn't it be awesome if we could just like subscribe to our school and just be able to, you know, throw in $5 a month, and then we could pool all that money and then, you know, survey all the teachers and say, you know, hey, what do you need this month? What can we get you? What would be the biggest help? And then we could just use that pool of money. We would know we would have it because we would all just subscribe to it. And they were all just looked at me and they were like, yeah, that sounds great. Who's going to build it? And I was like...
And then they all looked at you.
I was like, okay. I honestly wanted it for myself. I wanted an easy way to support teachers. So that's what we do. We make it really easy. Mm. You can subscribe to, you know, all of our Alpaca schools or schools that have signed up with us. We have a pretty simple technology platform that allows parents, community members, alumni, grandparents, local businesses to subscribe directly to their kids' school, and at a really, you know, easy levels, $5, $10, or $20 a month. It all really actually makes a huge impact. And then all of the dollars from your school go towards a pack of supplies and teacher appreciation that we deliver to every teacher in this school, every teacher in the school every month. So it's like Stitch Fix for teachers, but paid for by parents is kind of how it works. So
that's nice.
So the teachers get kind of this kind of surprise pack of all of these things that they have told us that they want brands
that they
love.
Oh, so it's tailored. It's stuff that you know, it's not just like they're getting the same, you know.
Well, so our teachers, all of our packs are curated and designed by real teachers using the data from the teachers themselves.
Awesome.
So, and then they're kind of thematic. So they are, you know, right at the moment where it's parent-teacher conference time, we, you know, make sure that teachers have like a little extra caffeine for those later days and those kinds of things. So they're always a surprise. They're always, they're really delightful and they're fun to, get. Principals love handing them out. They call it Alpaca Day and they kind of get to give this wonderful gift to all the teachers in their school every month. Teachers feel really supported. It's not, you know, a big dumb box of Amazon supplies. It's not crappy brands. It's not stuff that they have to kind of beg for through, you know, a whole bunch of, you know, fundraisers and all kinds of stuff. It's, you know, teachers don't want to beg for school supplies any more than we want to beg for office supplies, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
And so it's a really wonderful way to kind of invest in the profession of education in a new way and in a delightful way. So
it's a really fun way.
It's, you know, really
it's
fun.
Like, yeah, when you say like Stitch Fix for teachers, I'm thinking there's all these like, you know, these kind of curated box subscriptions that you can get. There's some tailored to men that like get advertised to me all the time. It's like, man, I want that. That's so cool. And like, just as something that just brings a little delight, unexpected surprise and delight to your day. But imagine for teachers who are often undervalued, underpaid, So I'm curious, with Alpaca, is it just here in Nebraska? Are you expanding to other states? And, you know, tell us more about kind of your reach right now and kind of your goals.
Yeah. Well, we started, like I said, about a year ago at my kids' school because they were a willing, willing pilot. So we started there and four other schools. And then that was great. It was super popular right off the bat. We got lots of calls from other principals and teachers saying, hey, what are you doing over there? We want that at our school. Yeah. And so word spread really quickly. And then for this last school year that we just finished up, we grew to 80 schools and about 3,000 teachers. So supporting about 3,000 teachers around and all around here, around the city, and then in some kind of smaller communities around here. But yes, all in Nebraska so far. And then we are now in the process of adding on all of our schools for the 23-24 school year. So we're just about to kick off that school year. And our goal is to expand first regionally and then nationally after that. So we want to make a pretty big splash.
Sounds like you already in 1 year. That's really, really impressive.
Oh, it's been really fun.
We've already kind of gave it away in the beginning that, you know, Alpaca is a social purpose business. What does that mean? Like when you mentioned that in our little email exchange, it's like, I didn't even really know what that is. Like, I know what a nonprofit is. And to me, this sounds like this could be like a nonprofit, right?
Mm-hmm.
How is that different than like a nonprofit or just a traditional business?
So a social purpose business is, you know, you might hear them in called different things to impact businesses or those kinds of things. They're businesses that want to take a kind of market driven or business approach to a problem, but it's a problem that has a high social impact. So you know, every business is here to solve a problem, right? Every single business is here to solve a problem, that's not, you know, we're here to solve a problem too at Alpaca.
Yeah.
It just happens to be a problem that has a greater social impact than anything else. So, any other kind of business, like
just selling a widget,
then like
something.
A bakery, like you know, so
solves a problem.
Although that actually has like a very high impact on me personally.
Yeah.
A bakery
does. Right. There may be baked goods in some of these packs, but
that's true. So if you think about companies like Tom's Shoes or Cotopaxi is one of our very aspirational social purpose brands and companies right now at Alpaca. We love not just because we have a similar mascot, but but also because
that was the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah, it is. I'm like, we really need an Alpaca branded Cotopaxi bag. And then I was like, it's going to be too, you know, a llama and an alpaca can't just be on the same bag together. anyway, so, but that's, those brands and those companies, we're doing the same. They have something to sell. They have a problem to solve. And they have a purpose behind that problem. So if you look at, you know, a company like Tom's Shoes, most of us probably wouldn't think real hard about whether kids in Africa that don't have shoes can't go to school. Like most, like you and I wouldn't talk yeah. about that over coffee, probably. Right. But when we purchased Tom's shoes, when you bought those shoes and you knew that a pair was going to, you know, and they did send them to Africa and they didn't get them to kids that would otherwise not be able to go to school because you can't go to school without shoes. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, I know that story, right? Mm-hmm. I know that story of that impact and right. I know the story of that problem. And I was more than willing to buy a pair of shoes because it benefited me in some way.
Yeah.
But it also creates this great impact somewhere else. And so mm-hmm. Cotopaxi is the same way. Cotopaxi is there to Cotopaxi wants to support people in lower income countries to create a living for themselves. So almost all of their bags and all of those things are made honestly of scrap materials from and are sewn and built by groups of people that they employ in really smart and really ethical ways. And they are making a huge impact on honestly entrepreneurship and poverty alleviation in those countries. Wow. And I'm more than willing to buy a bag that yeah. I've got one over here.
Bags are like my weakness too. I am willing to put a lot of money into bags. It's like one of the few things.
It's so many. I mean, there's bags within bags in my life everywhere. They're, it's never just one bag. There's so many.
No.
That's bad. That's really
Bellroy
really bad.
Is the company for me. I have like so many like Bellroy bags and yeah. wallets and stuff. And like, oh my goodness. But yeah, we could yeah. go on.
Oh gosh, I know bags. But you know, it's so when there's a market for something, people are willing to pay for something that benefits them in some way. And make or make something easier for them yeah. in some way, but it then ends up benefiting somebody else. That's a social purpose business.
Yeah. So you know, just hearing you explain that, you know, the thing that pops into my mind, like the difference that I see with alpaca is yeah. it's not so much that you know a consumer is buying a good for themselves and hey, isn't True. It nice to know that this helps someone else? Like it is just impacting. So like they don't the yeah. person purchasing, what are they? They're not buying anything for themselves. They're buying something for someone else. So it's a yeah. little different in that
it's
way.
It's a little different, although what it, you know, part of our goal is that, you know, I think you've mentioned your parents. So,
yeah, right? yeah. I've got like 5 kids.
Oh, okay. That's right. Okay. I've got 3. All right. So you know that it's a lot to keep track of. It's very, very yeah. difficult to keep track of all of the school things and all of the fundraisers and all of the bake sales. I'm super bad at bake sales. Second time baked goods have come up in this conversation. But I'm really bad at all that. And it's hard to kind of keep track. And you want to be a great, you know, a great school parent. You want to be doing all the right things. But it's hard to keep track of. And yeah. so part of what we are offering is that convenience and to make it very, very easy to just be able to kind of check it off your list to yeah. not have to worry about some of that stuff, to not have to participate necessarily if you don't want to in the, you know, wrapping paper sales and the, you know, kind of the different, you know, fundraiser yeah. kinds of things that come home. You know, this is one way that you can just say, you know what, just put me on a subscription for it and I'm done for the year
yeah.
On this stuff. So I personally find it valuable to yeah, myself
no,
from a convenience perspective, but it is, you're right that it's not getting a good, like it's not an item that you purchase.
Yes,
but
exactly. Yeah. No, that makes a lot more sense when you explain it that way
yeah.
because yeah, when you think of all the different things, like, that's the hardest part about being, you know, I think a parent
yeah.
and so it's just like keeping track of all the different, you know, activities and things you feel like you should be doing. But like,
oh, yeah.
yeah, just like everything else in our lives these days, like put this on a subscription thing
yeah.
and you know, it's probably going to be even better
yeah.
than, you know, if we had done all these other things. And so
yep.
that is really, really cool to
yeah.
me. Yeah, very awesome.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's a good. I enjoy being a customer of it, honestly, for my own kids'
That's
school.
Awesome.
So I'm like, all right, good.
So
we got stuff.
When we were just kind of chatting before
yeah.
before we started rolling here, you started telling me a little bit about the core values
yeah.
of alpaca. I'd love for you to kind of unpack those a little bit for
yes.
us here. No pun intended.
Okay. I like that. That's good.
yeah, if you could, because I thought they were really. Interesting. If you could kind of just
yeah.
kind of explain some of them to us.
Sure. Yeah. So we have 5 core values at Alpaca. Every week we have a value of the week that we like figure out cool new ways to do something with. But
nice.
So they are, the first one is write thank you notes, which is a strange
core value.
That's
very specific.
Yeah. It is.
And that's number one.
Yeah.
Too.
It's number one. It is. It's number
explain
one.
Explain this.
Okay. So part of why we built this and how we're building this is with the idea that actually reaching out and creating personal connection is one of the things that drives teacher well-being the most. Mm-hmm. So when I was first starting Alpaca, I went and just took coffee to like 100 teachers after school. Like every day I was like, well, like back to Starbucks and then over to school, over to a school anywhere. And then I would I would talk to teachers. I would ask them to show me their classroom. I'd ask them to show me, you know, kind of what stuff in it they bought out of pocket. I would ask them to let me know, you know, kind of how they were feeling. And, you know, we had amazing conversations. But one of the things that I kept hearing, you know, I said, what makes the biggest impact? Yeah. You know, what actually makes you feel good during the day? Like, is it like if somebody brings donuts in? Is it like, what is it? And they said, a handwritten note is the thing. It's the whole thing. And I said, why? And they said, because it means that somebody took that much time to sit down and think about me and the impact I've had on their kid and write a note and send it to me. And it's and I heard it over and over and over. And so we made our very first pack. I said, we won't do these without a handwritten note in them. And there was only 27 in our first month.
So that's attainable.
So that was easy.
But and I remember then, some of the numbers you gave a minute ago. So how does this go?
It goes great. So it goes great. So we actually have this awesome little thing called the Thank You Crew. And it is when you sign up for it, if you are a person that wants to help teachers, but you don't really know how, we send you a box of thank you notes. And we send you a really cool pen because we're kind of into that. And then
also into cool pens.
Yeah,
I love this.
Good. I'm gonna ask you your favorite pen in just a minute. And then you write thank you notes to teachers, and they just go on these little cards, and people send them back to us, and so we get all of this like happy, joyful mail all the time that is all of these handwritten notes to teachers, and we put a handwritten thank you note in every single pack. So we did exactly 23,000 packs in the 22-23 school year. It was so weird. We were adding it all up.
Wait,
I hit equal, and I was like, 23,000 exactly, like on the nose. So we wrote 23,000 thank you notes last year. It was the number one thing that people were like, that is not going to scale. And I'm like, I'll let you know. But we have retired teachers who write thank you notes to teachers. We have actually lots of retirees do it. We also have a lot of young professionals. We have a couple, and they each have a box of thank you notes, and they go on a date once a month, and they hang out and drink wine
and that's
and
what they
write
do.
Thank you notes, and they love it, and they bring them to us, and it's amazing. Like it's just it's a really fun thing to do, but it's the thing we get commented on the most in the pack. Wow. So we survey after every pack. And the handwritten thank you note is a really, really big deal. We have lots of teachers who pin all of their thank you notes from every month onto their desk. It's just a really big deal. And so, and also, you know, it's a good way to run a business. You know, if you write thank you notes as a business leader, if you take time to write a handwritten thank you note to an investor, to a customer, there's nobody in the world that's like, well, that's a terrible use of your time.
I'm not
going to
read that
here.
Crap.
And it's because of personal connection, right?
You are totally right. Yeah. And it's so, like, I feel like this is the thing that people are going to remember from this podcast, too. Like, it's so memorable. I don't know why. Like, it just stands out to me, like, that you made that be your first core value.
Yep.
You stuck to it. And then you had to figure out a complicated, way of accomplishing that goal as you scale, like, you know, what you said that others have said, you know, they said initially, like, that's not going to scale. That's immediately where my mind went. It's like, no, you, like, instead of like, okay, we thought we were going to be all about thank you notes, but now we've gotten to a point we need to not do that. Instead, it's like, no, we're going to actually go in a little bit.
We're doubling down on
thank you
notes.
We're going to double down, and we will create a system. And then that very thing is a thing that you're getting more people involved on, and you I don't know, it's just really cool how you built kind of this community that someone would spend their date night regularly doing that.
and then imagine, like,
compelling.
You know, imagine if we're building a community of teachers who are supported by this, and we're building a community of people, young professionals, retirees, kids, parents, everyone who is kind of rallying around this profession. Mm-hmm. Think about what happens when a potential teacher comes to town and sees the community of educators and the community of support for educators in this town.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. That attracts teachers to this city and to each of our cities. That makes teaching a profession that we would all consider.
Oh yeah, right? Yeah. You know, it elevates it a bit. Yeah. It just makes you feel like, you know, instead of this thing that you feel like you should do or have to, just like that. Yeah. This is like I'm being like, you know, acknowledged, and I'm being that's so cool.
You know, when I was at Flywheel, I was involved with a lot of, you know, the kind of hiring and team growth and kind of people's career paths and things like that. And, you know, when you work in a startup company or you work in most companies, nobody ever thinks to themselves, well, this has been a really excellent run. I'm going to go teach the sixth grade now, right?
Yeah. That's never, you don't see that as often, that's for sure.
You don't see people, but what if you did? What if you did? What if people who were building awesome companies and doing extraordinary things in the world found teaching to be a viable, valuable career path?
Right.
Like, what if that was a thing?
Yeah.
That's huge. Like, that would change everything. That would change how our businesses run. It would change a lot of things. And so, I don't know, you figure, you know, if you can start getting people to go out on a date night and write thank you notes to teachers, then maybe they think a little bit differently, even if they don't have kids.
Sure.
You know, even if it's not their pain point right now, that's, and again, like sort of to the social purpose business, that's why a whole market approach to a problem.
Yeah.
It's not just a problem that like, oh, I feel this pain point acutely, so I'm going to give to or donate to a teacher in a way that makes that teacher feel like a charity case. This is a community rallying around to invest in a profession that is a vital profession. So
unbelievable.
That's what we're after with it.
And so we've only gone through
one
of these values.
Yeah, that's
we got four more.
Okay, got four more.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to top that first
one. No, that's okay. We should have saved that one for last.
The most important.
Yeah, no, it is. It's our most important one. And we actually, when we get to work every morning, we're all in an office together, and we all sit around one big table. And when we get to work in the morning, that's the first thing we all do is write thank you notes. So whether it's to, you know, a customer or person that we have talked to, that we had a meeting with, or just to teachers directly. That's what we do. And that's how we start our day. Every day. It's an amazing way to start your day.
I love it. I'm inspired by this.
Extraordinary way to start your
day. You might get a handwritten note.
Yes.
Thanking you for being on the podcast. And this might be a thing we have to do.
You might get a handwritten note from me.
Well, I'm actually kind of expecting one if I don't.
Yeah. That's going to be like kind of offensive.
Thing.
Yeah.
That's your thing. I think I'll know what you're trying to say if I don't get one. But I think it's so cool. We had someone working with us a couple of years back, and we were talking about, you know, ways that you feel fulfilled and whatnot, and he just, handwritten note was his thing, and I remember writing a couple, and just it meant so much to him, and some people are just that way, and by some people I mean probably everybody. Like you said, I've never like seen, I was like, oh, when am I gonna read this?
It's
like, you know, even like we're looking at you know, we want to move this year, and our realtor is like, yeah, you gotta write a letter. A lot of people are gonna be bidding on this house. You gotta write that letter. And it you know, it's funny that should, you know, you think like, oh, that's not gonna really sway someone. It's like, people like
You'd
that personal
surprised.
Touch you know, they want to know who's might be living in this house that they, you know, built all their, you know, memories and stuff in. So anyways, all right, that's one.
That's the one.
Number two.
Number two is listen to teachers. That's that is like core to who we are. It's not about us deciding what we think teachers want and need or what we think teachers are experiencing, but to really, really listen all the time. So we've built systems and mechanisms for doing that through, you know, kind of personal interviews and discussions, but also through surveys every month, through activations. We did a huge activation for teachers just a couple of weeks ago at the end of the school year for teachers to be able to come together and hang out. Because, you know, if you teach fifth grade all day, you mostly see 10-year-olds in your life. That's pretty much who you see. It's not like you hang out with all your other coworker teachers all day. They're in their classrooms.
10-year-olds are great, but you might want to talk
They're
to some
great.
Other
I've
people that
one.
Hang out with 10-year-olds.
So we've done some things like that. But listening to teachers is really core to who we are. And then our third one is tell stories, which is to say, you know, lots of people, especially if you don't have kids in school, don't really know exactly what's going on in that world and in that profession. And they don't know most people, when they hear that, will say, oh, yeah, they're having a really hard time. And it's like, no. What I'm saying is, like, most people don't know how ingenious teachers are and how extraordinary they are as professionals. There's not a lot of, you know, you don't read a lot of stories, like, you know, in kind of popular media about the extraordinary and kind of inventive and innovative things that teachers do.
That's true. It does tend to be more negative.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's a clickbait thing
or
what.
It's, and it, well, and it's also because it's like this profession that has been seen as this kind of, you know, it like, it's not upheld as the, as this really highly regarded profession sometimes. And so you don't hear some of these stories, but the stories of how teachers do things. I mean, they are extraordinary managers. They are extraordinary marketers.
Have to be.
extraordinary marketers. Mm-hmm. Great communicators, great organizers, operations people. I mean, they are amazing. There are amazing stories of teachers doing extraordinary professional things. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of our values, is to tell those stories, get make that heard.
Yeah.
So we love telling stories. That's the core of how we do what we do. The fourth one is elevate every educator. So one of the very first things we didn't want to happen was for Alpaca to be a product and a service that would be available to schools that have a lot of parent support. So we built matching programs and some programs with some with the nonprofit community to create funds for schools that have less parent financial support and less, you know, lots of, you know, a lot of the schools where parents are, you know, lots of parents at the school are working two or three jobs. They don't have time for a PTO meeting on a Tuesday evening. So and that's really understandable. But a lot of times those teachers actually kind of have the least amount of resources that are offered to them and the least amount of support. So we wanted to make sure that Alpaca was a place for every educator to feel like they belong and for every educator to get support they need. So that's the fourth one. And then our fifth one is bring out the best. And that's bring out the best is kind of, it is both true for teachers. It is also true, honestly, for our communities. Like kind of like we were just saying that like we can be extraordinary communities for the profession of education if we have ways to do it. Like you and I can do amazing things for teachers if there are simple, easy, honestly technology-driven ways to make it really easy to do that. And so we want to bring out the best in our communities that we're in. And then we also want to do things that bring out the best in teachers. And as a company, like one of our values as for our employees is to bring out the best in every employee so that each of our team members feels like they are bringing their best to work every day and that they are becoming better at their craft and at what they do just by being at Alpaca. So that's what we're after. Those are our five.
This sounds awesome. Are you guys hiring? This is
yeah, we are. We're growing fast.
I love when you were talking about, I think the storytelling part, just that idea of like, you know, sharing these kind of like, you know, more positive, inspirational, you know, things about the teachers, really like lifting them up. And, you know, I think of a lot of nonprofits and even some that I've supported that just tend to tell sob stories. You know, they want to, because there are problems in the world. And even in this, you know, this is coming out of trying to solve a problem, right?
Yeah.
But like when you just focus on that problem, like, too much, you know, it's a different vibe than like really kind of inspiring people about like, hey, you could be a part of this, you know, focus on the solution, focus on the people you're serving. And I liked how you said, not just like a charity case, but like you're giving them this really cool stuff that's, you know, been, you know, you're taking feedback from actual teachers. And I don't know, I think the whole thing is so cool.
Yeah.
I'm curious, we're some of the things that, that you're saying here remind me of things that like Flywheel embodied too.
Yeah.
Of, you know, I'm just curious.
I learned a lot there.
Yeah, I'm curious of like, did you kind of, you know, learn some of these things while, you know, in your other places that you've worked along the way?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think one of the things was, and it kind of goes back to the thank you note story, but one of the things that we said or was told to me at Flywheel when I first started, because I got there and I was like, oh, well, this isn't efficient over here. Like I thought I was all smart. And they were like, oh, no, that's on purpose. We're doing that. And we know it doesn't scale. It's an experiment. We're trying something. It's important that we do things that don't scale. And I was like, why would we do things that don't scale? And it's a Paul Graham quote, actually, you know, do things that don't scale. It's actually a great article by him. Mm. And it is about testing things that are really hard and that don't feel possible and they don't feel like they scale to figure out, are they important enough that maybe you find a way to scale them, or you figure out how to do something, or it gives you enough momentum to then, you know, build the thing that is a more scalable version of that. So, you know, thank you notes for us were a thing that, you know, everybody was like, that's cute. How are you going to do that when you have 3,000 teachers and 10,000 teachers and 20,000 teachers? I don't know, but right now I didn't think we could do it past 100 teachers, and we do it for 3,000 teachers every month right now. And so we'll continue to do it. But what it taught us, you know, handwritten thank you notes taught us how important connection is how important it is for teachers to feel like there are people that are in the rest of their communities that actually understand and believe in what they're doing. And care about what they're doing. And so it was, now we have to figure out how to scale it because I'm not doing it. It's happening. Totally.
This is going down.
Thank you crew is a real thing. So that's an example, but yeah, I mean, so many lessons, and you've had some great flywheelers on your podcast. I think, you know, a lot of things around how, we create alignment in teams, how we really stay focused on making sure that all of our teams are kind of running in the same direction as fast as we can, but all together all the time, is really core to who Alpaca is and the team we're building there. I feel like I daily steal things from the founders of Flywheel that I learned there. They're really, really smart. There's a lot of things in the way that we operate our teams, but also a lot of things in the way that we are thinking about the business and scaling the business, and what we want to do, that come from that ethos.
Back to the social purpose business thing or theme. So you're a business.
We're a business.
So you're how do you make money?
Yeah.
Like it's a percentage of each donation kind of a thing, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So all the subscriptions are not donations. They're just that you're buying something. Like you go, you know, but your money goes a lot further. So if you go to Target and get your teacher a Target gift card, for $20. This is something we do often, right?
We all do this.
We're like, okay, your teacher will take that card to Target, and like we all do when we go to Target, we will spend, you know, quite a bit more than the gift card says.
Yeah, that's true. Especially if it's $20.
Yeah, and we'll pay full, you know, that teacher will pay full retail price for Expo markers and Post-it notes and things that they might want or need. And that's fine. That's good. There's good in that. But what Alpaca can do is quite a bit more. So we have excellent partners with Crayola and with some really big brands that are teachers' favorite brands, which we learned by listening to them. And we also know which brands not to give teachers. There's some no thank you brands.
We will not mention them.
We will not mention them on this podcast. But if you want to know, DM me. I'll tell you which ones not to. So we know those, and we built partnerships with some of those brands that are teachers' favorite things, in order, and we get those things at really excellent prices as a vendor with those bigger suppliers, and so your dollars go really far. So basically, what we tell teachers and what we explain to everybody is that for every dollar that comes in subscription, we're able to deliver about $2 out to teachers worth of in retail value out to because of those relationships.
Those partnerships,
And then we make money by, you know, kind of scaling a subscription business, just like, you know, just like we make money the same exact way that that Stitch Fix or any of those subscription boxes does. We have partnerships with districts, and we have partnerships with, you know, with schools and with parents. But we make sure, you know, what we want is for it to be kind of a double win, right? So we want the parent to win, that if they're giving $20 to their school every month, their teachers are getting $40 worth of stuff. We want them to feel that way. And we need, you know, obviously we need to keep the lights on and keep the team paid. Yeah. So then we win. So we want to make sure that parents feel like they are getting even more than their value than if they would just give those dollars directly to school, by working with us. And then, obviously we work to be a viable business as well. So
I just love, you know, I think one of the things I love about this and was intrigued by this whole idea of, you know, the social purpose business is, you know, that you're not ashamed to just to call yourself a business, you know, that there's nothing wrong with that. And you know, our listeners are business leaders. A lot of them are business owners, and they believe that too, that, you know, to make a difference in the world, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, you got to pay, you have to keep the lights on, all that stuff.
Well, you look at a business like Scholastic, right? Like we've all had a book order before, right?
Yeah.
Like book fair, book order.
Book fairs, yes.
Oh man, the book order. Scholastic is a business, right?
Of course, yeah.
And Scholastic is helping so many kids learn to read. And they give, they do a lot of amazing work for the schools that they're in. They give back to the schools that they're in. They're supporting it. And they make money by selling books to parents like us whose kids come home with a book order and say, yeah. Please, can I have this book? But that's okay. There's nothing wrong with being a business that has a social purpose. We're not making, profiting on the backs of teachers, right? Anything like that. Really, we're here to solve a problem. And there are people who want to help solve that problem, and they're willing to, buy things to help solve that problem. And so we're here to do that.
There's no shame. Absolutely not. I love that.
Honestly, like, teachers aren't charity cases. And absolutely. We won't be in a realm where we are, the way that we operate today is very efficient. Mm-hmm. And if we are good at what we do, we will be able to help more teachers. And if we're bad at what we do, because this is how businesses work, we won't, right? that's the efficiency of the market. That's the efficiency of markets and businesses. In a nonprofit, you're not necessarily getting that constant feedback of whether you're doing a fantastic job. Because if you write a big grant and then you're not as good at helping teachers as you want, or you may be at the whim of funding cycles, and you may be at the whim of grant cycles and funding that shuts down, and all of a sudden you can't help as many teachers as you were before, even if you're really good at it. Yeah. And that sucks. that's not the way that we want to run. We want to run in a way where if we are great at what we do and we move fast and we do things in smart new ways, more and more people will say, yeah, I want to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. I want to buy that. And I want people to benefit from it that are deserving of being invested in.
Yeah.
Like, it's a way to invest in a profession. It's, it's all of us putting a couple of dollars together to say, hey, actually, those teachers are pretty important to our future workforce. I'm putting some dollars towards this. It's an investment. It's not a donation.
I love that.
Yeah.
An investment, not a donation. Yep. Okay. So, for those listening, let's say, think of, someone who maybe is, working at a soul crushing job or, you're just not feeling fulfilled in their work and they have an idea, it's solving a problem kind of like you have. And they're listening to this and like, man, that would be a lot of fun. Like, what would you suggest? What are some like maybe first steps for someone who's interested in starting their own social purpose business?
Yeah. I think understanding the problem you're trying to solve is number one. That's certainly something I learned at Flywheel also. what problem are we trying to solve here really?
Yeah.
And what's the solution that we have? Because I want to be clear. I wasn't trying to like dog on nonprofit organizations before.
Yeah.
There are some problems where a nonprofit is the right solution.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And there are some problems where a business, a for-profit business, is the right solution. And there are some problems where there might be a mix of those things.
Yeah.
And so really understanding the problem that you want to solve, I think, is a number one. And understanding it really clearly and honestly making sure that you don't think that you know what problem you're trying to solve or you think you have the right solution, but to actually talk to people. I mean, my number one thing I would say is if you have a problem you want to solve, if you care about, what is happening with, what's going on with immigrants, what's going on with teachers, what's going on with any, group of people, go talk to people.
don't just assume you know how to solve their problem.
Go listen to their stories and let them just talk about what they're experiencing because it might actually not be what you think. It might actually not be the exact same problem that you thought you were solving.
Yeah.
I set out because I saw so much statistics on teachers and out-of-pocket spend, and because I watched this video on Twitter that is burned on my brain for eternity of teachers at a hockey game. There's a hockey game. It kind of went crazy on the internet a couple of years ago, and at the halftime of the hockey game, do hockey games have halftime? Anyway,
you were asking the wrong person.
Okay, good. All right.
I will fact check that. Yeah. Before
anyway, at some sort of intermission or something, I'm not a sporty girl. At the hockey game, the program or like the thing was they put a huge thing out on the ice, like a big blanket, and they dumped like $5,000 in $1 bills in the middle of the blanket. And then they had teachers from that community like four of them all around it. And then they blew the whistle and they had to stuff as many dollars in their like coveralls as fast as they could.
Okay.
And so these teachers were like scrambling on the ice, shoving dollars into coveralls. And they said it was like this fun, like sideshow. It was like entertainment, and it just broke me. I was
horrified. What an image!
What an image! And it was about and they said this is for these teachers to buy things for their classrooms.
Oh,
and I was like, imagine if we had to scramble on the ice for office supplies. Like, absolutely not.
I mean,
not.
It's just degrading. I was going to say, we need to link this in the show notes, but I don't even know if I want people to see this. It'll stick with them.
It's a terrible story, but it was eye-opening that it wasn't actually just about teachers spending money out of pocket. It wasn't about the fact that teachers are going to buy their own supplies. To me, I was like, I need to understand how teachers are, like what teachers are experiencing in their worlds, how they're feeling, how they feel about the profession of teaching.
Yeah.
And because that video was like, this is where we are, are, that it is entertainment for a hockey game to watch teachers scramble on the ice for resources to do their jobs that we would never, ever ask of any other profession.
Can you imagine another profession doing that? Lawyers?
No, yeah. Like, just doesn't make sense. And so
maybe graphic designers.
And so that's why I started taking coffee to teachers, honestly, and asking them about things
and listening.
Because what I really wanted to hear about is how you feel about your job. You know, what do you need? Like, why is it so hard? Like, what are you paying for out of pocket? What'd you buy in this classroom?
Yeah.
And that really takes one-on-one listening and really spending the time. And so that it's the number one thing I would say to anyone who's looking to solve a problem with a potentially social purpose business or that kind of problem is to start with listening as much as you can to understand the actual experience of the people that you believe that you are trying to help.
Yeah. No, I love that. I think you're onto something there. So obviously listening, asking the questions, really getting to know the problem. Then after you kind of did that, you talked about the Starbucks, you know, thing, taking them Starbucks and whatnot. Like, did you then go back and try to show them, like, hey, how does this, trying out solutions with them or, pitching? Like, how does this feel?
Yeah.
Kind of a thing?
I did. I spent a lot of time with parents and a lot of time with teachers and a lot of time with principals with the kind of idea. I was like, all right, here's this idea. What if...
Imagine this.
What if you could subscribe to your school? And what if you could, what if it looked like this? And I got a lot of like, well, it's not going to work if this, and it's not going to work if that.
Right.
And so when I finally said, all right, it's time to just write this plan and get it out of my brain completely. And if it is a working plan that I believe is viable, I'm going to go for it. And if it's not, I won't. And what I did is I wrote on a piece of paper in Sharpie, unsay knowable. I wrote the words unsay knowable, just that word. And I put it right in front of me on the desk. And my goal was this has to be unsay knowable for parents. It has to be unsay knowable for principals and school administrators. And it has to be unsay knowable for teachers.
Unsay knowable.
Unsay knowable. And so I said, okay.
That's the name of this episode.
Yeah, unsay knowable. It is. And so I kind of went through and said, what makes a solution that everyone feels like they won.
Like unanimously.
Yeah, we all feel like we won. And so, because like I said, parents aren't gonna support this. If you're not, honestly, like if you're not, you're not gonna buy something that you don't get any value from personally.
That
would be dumb. I don't do that.
Right.
And like, that's dumb. So I was like, what's gonna actually give parents value? Like it has to be super simple. You have to be able to subscribe to this thing on your phone in like, 2 minutes or less. It has to be cheaper than Netflix. It has to be easier than the bake sale. It has to be all of those things. It has to actually save me time as a parent. Unsay knowable. For teachers, it has to be stuff I actually want and need.
Right.
It has to not make me feel like a charity case. It has to make me feel better about my job. Like it has to do that. Unsay knowable. And then for principals, it has to not mess with like school budgets. It has to not be just for favorite teachers. in the school. Mm-hmm. It has to be equitable. It has to go to all of our, that was one thing I heard from principals over and over and over, is like, we're not doing it if every teacher doesn't get it. So it's not like
favoritism.
This teacher has four parents in her class that are subscribing, and this brand new teacher has zero, and that sucks.
That's why
it pools at the school level. And so that's, so, you know, and so as soon as I started writing all of those things down, and then of course it had to be unsaynable from a viable business perspective as well.
Yeah.
And so it just worked like a jigsaw puzzle. Honestly, I wrote that word out. I started writing down all the things that would make it that way. And then I just looked at it to say, okay, well, can it, all of those things live together? Can all those things fit together? And it did. So we went after it.
Well, and that's so wise of you too, to not just be like, you know, you're obviously very focused on the teachers, but you realize it's bigger than that. There's you know, what are the parents going to say? What are the principals? Like, there's all these different kind of, you know, entities that they all need to be okay with this thing for it to actually work.
Yeah.
Instead of just, I think that would be kind of, you know, I could see that being a tendency for some people to be like, there's this real problem out in the world. I think I know how to solve it. Maybe even just, you know, talking to one of those groups.
Yeah.
And you get, you know, and then later you find these roadblocks.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, forgot to talk to the principals.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think that, you know, there might be favoritism or, you know, the other,
right.
you know, all these. And it sounds like you really did your due diligence. So instead of rushing out to just, I need to solve this, you know, acute problem, like, really taking that time if you can.
Well, and it doesn't actually take so it, you know, it's not overwhelmingly amount, like in the amount of time it is. It's really more of kind of the intention of asking. Like, I bought a $5 Pinterest ad, and for like, I don't know, a month. And it linked to a survey that I made on like Typeform or something free.
Yeah.
And it was just like, tell me a little bit about being a teacher and tell
how
me about.
How did that do?
Like, so, I did great. I mean, I got.
Yeah, think about Pinterest ads, but I mean,
teachers are on Pinterest.
On Pinterest. Yep,
so
yep.
I was like, well, let's just see what happens. And so, you know, I sent them $5 Target or Starbucks gift cards because I couldn't bring them coffee. But, you know, that was easy. And I got 100 interviews out of it. It was so easy. And so it doesn't have to be a ton, you know, it doesn't have to be really expensive. It doesn't have to take you all year. It doesn't have to stop you. You know, it's more like, you know, and when we were making it unsaynable, we were kind of prototyping things. We were like, make a pack, I brought it to a teacher. We were like, do you like this? Is this actually help you?
How would it feel?
You know, how does it feel? And and, you know, we went to principals and we were like, tell us all of like the things that make your life difficult. And they were like, how long do you have? That's a hard job. And so, you know, we heard all about that. And, you know, it doesn't actually take too much. It doesn't require, you know, a McKinsey study. Like, it's just about listening, and you just keep doing it. Like, you know, we keep saying, like, you know, there's new no's all the time. Like, somebody will say no for something, and as we move to new markets and as we move to new things, there will always be people who are going to say, like, that doesn't work for us. And then it's a question of like, okay, why does it not work for you? And do we need it to? Do we want it to?
Right.
Because we can't make everything work for everyone. It can't be unsaynable for the entire world forever. Then you're trying to be all things to all people.
Yeah.
But at that core moment when we were starting, we needed it to be unsaynable and to the core audience we were serving at that moment.
Sure.
And then from there, we just keep listening. That's why it's one of our values.
Well, that makes sense. I could see, you know, as you break into other states and other regions, I'm sure you'll come into new, you know, the way that their schools are set up or, you know,
for sure.
I'm sure you've already, you know, found new hurdles and stuff like that. But, you know, I think it sounds like you guys are pretty, you know, just aware of that and are going to be, you're going to tackle those as they come.
Yeah.
So as we close here, can you just, you know, if someone wants to, you know, support teachers through Alpaca, get involved with that, how can people learn more about Alpaca?
Yeah. Well, you can come to our website at alpacapacks.com. And that's a great way to learn a little bit more. You know, kind of read up some of the stories that we're telling about teachers on our
blog. In the show notes.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. and then you can join our thank you crew and help us write thank you notes. Go on a date night with your significant other and write some notes. You can. We are doing a bunch of stuff around back to school in getting folks involved. We do kind of events for corporate groups that want to come be part of their community together. So we do some really fun events over at Millwork Commons, where our office is here in Omaha, to help put our packs together and then have a happy hour over cross train. So we do a lot of that. That's really fun. That's a great way to come, you know, it's kind of a networking event and team building event for companies that want to support, but also it's just really fun. Yeah, website's the best place. Yeah.
Awesome. AlpacaPacks.com. Thank you, Karen, so much for being on the podcast today.
This is so fun.
Yeah, and I hope you've inspired a whole new generation of social purpose businesses. And we've gotten a lot of great tips today. So thank you so much.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us today on Growing a Fruitful Brand. If you found today's show helpful, don't forget to subscribe and consider sharing it with someone who might also enjoy it.
And if you'd like to work with Fruitful on a branding, website, or messaging project of your own, you can always reach out on our website, fruitful.design.
Until next time, don't forget to grow
something good.